1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, will you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. Just as I urged you when I went to Macedonia to remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they may teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. And I'll ask Ken Worthen, please lead us. Amen. You may be seated. I want to start with a question. Do you feel like you are a man or a woman on a mission? Do you feel like you really have purpose? The title of this message is Your Purpose. Michael asked me what I was preaching tonight. I said, Your Purpose. I'm going to tell you what your purpose is. And I'm going to tell you, not only Michael, but I'm going to tell you what your purpose is. And I'm going to remind myself of what my purpose is, because sometimes I even lose sight of what my purpose is on this earth. Paul opened up and he's writing to Timothy, young pastor of the church at Ephesus, and he opens up with a statement, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, it's real easy for us to look at that and pass right by and not even think about what Paul's saying. But when Paul says, identifies himself as an apostle is one who's sent on a mission, one who's sent with orders. You see, Paul had something figured out, and he wanted Timothy to know what he had figured out from the very beginning, that quite honestly, most people or most Christians don't get this or don't truly realize this today. And that is, Paul had it figured out that he was here for a purpose. And that purpose was to be a representative of God to carry the gospel to the Gentile world. Now I ask you again, do you feel like you're a man on a mission or a woman on a mission? Do you feel like you have a God-given purpose in being placed where you are? Because you do. Beloved, you are not here upon this earth. You're not where you are to be happy, even though you want to be happy, right? You're not here to enjoy life. You're not here to work 30 years and build up a retirement and then finish out the golden years retiring and enjoy life. That's not what life is about. You are here with a God-given purpose. I'm here with a God-given purpose. And that purpose, I'll tell you more about later. Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith. Now Paul says, I'm here with a purpose. Now Timothy, I'm going to talk to you. And he calls him my true child or true son in the faith. Timothy, you're genuine. You're sincere. But I want you to notice here the my. Okay? To Timothy, in the New King James, it says a true son. And it's meant to be my true son in the faith. Right? Paul was responsible for this young man being where he was. In that he had witnessed to this young man. He had taken him under his wing. He had taken responsibility for Timothy. And even placed him at Ephesus. Verse 3 says, I urged you when I went to Macedonia to remain in Ephesus that you may charge. Paul is responsible for this guy. And the first point I want you to grasp here is that Paul didn't just bring Timothy to faith in Jesus Christ. He didn't just bring Timothy and put him in Ephesus and say, buddy, here's your job, and go off and leave him. Paul took responsibility, took this young man under his wing, and literally instructed him in how to be a pastor. Because you see, Timothy was Paul's beloved son in the faith. Now, I use that word beloved not in just passing. I use that word intentionally. Paul took responsibility. And just as you would not have a child and leave that child to himself, even though some, I guess, in the world we live today might, Paul took it as his personal mission to take Timothy and to groom him and to instruct him and to bring him to that point of being a useful missionary for God and pass down his ministry. Okay? Now, why did Paul go through all that? And I just want to remind you, you know, it's way too easy to invite somebody to church and then forget about them. It's way too easy to even bring somebody to a salvation experience and then just let them, okay, you're on your own. As a matter of fact, we do that a lot. And you know what happens to them? They fall by the wayside. Paul gave us an example from the very beginning. And I still haven't got to your purpose yet. But Paul gave us an example from the very beginning. Hey, here's how you treat people. You take them under your wing. You get them into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then you grow them. It's called discipling. All right? Oftentimes, we forget that. And then, Paul, in this discipling process, he begins to instruct Timothy as to his purpose. Found in verse 3. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia to remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Timothy, here's your job. You're the pastor there at Ephesus. You're the leader. I want you to teach these guys that they are not to teach any other doctrine. Anything different, anything false is the idea there. Okay? Now, we address, we don't know exactly what they were teaching that Paul was saying, Timothy, be on guard. You need to stop them. All right? But we do know from Revelation chapter 2 what their problem was. Revelation chapter 2, God, Jesus said, I know your works, I know your labor, I know your patience. You can't bear those who are evil. And he's talking to the church at Ephesus. You have tested and identified the false teachers. You have endured and faithfully labored. Yet, I have something against you. You remember what Jesus said about the church at Ephesus? I have something against you. And if you don't fix this something, I'm going to remove the lampstand. Right? Here's how the church at Ephesus was going. Verse 4. That you teach them, don't teach any other doctrines, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes, rather than godly edification. Apparently they were big on fables. You know what a fable was? A fable was a fanciful story. How many of you like a good story? That's what goes out of pulpits a lot today. Just good stories. I want to tell you what, there's more to teaching than good stories, right? Or endless genealogies. You know, Jewish people, very big on genealogy. He says, that's a waste of time. that just simply cause disputes. What Timothy, what you've got to do is you've got to teach things that will edify the church. Right? Now, we get down to the purpose. Paul says in verse 5, now the purpose of the commandment is what? Help me here. Verse 5, now the purpose of the commandment is what?
Love.
Do you realize Paul has been, everything he said up to this point, he's brought him to this point, this idea, and he's teaching Timothy, don't waste your time with all these good doctrines and instructions and good stories and all that. Don't waste your time there. But Timothy, the purpose of it all is love. Actually, the New American Standard says the goal of our instruction, the aim of our instruction, is love. Here's the point, okay? Here's the point. It's not about what you know. You see, we place a great deal of emphasis on what we know. And I'll be honest with you, I love studying the Word and learning things I didn't know before. But it's not all about what you know. It's about how you apply what you know. And the way you apply what you know is love. Right? Timothy, Paul is saying, Timothy, he's not saying don't be doctrinally pure. Doctrinally pure is good. But I want to tell you something. You can have baptism right. You can have security of the believer right. You can have the Lord's Supper right. You can have everything right and it be absolutely useless. If it's not motivated from a heart of love. Okay? Have you ever been to a cold church? Where you walked in and you felt absolutely nothing and you walked out feeling the same way. Why did you feel that way? You didn't feel that way because they were doctrinally incorrect. You didn't feel that way because they got a baptism wrong. You felt that way because they were missing something. And the something they were missing was love. Love for God and love for one another. I love the parameters. He said, Timothy, the purpose or the point of the instruction, the point of me telling you what I'm telling you, Timothy, and the point of you preaching to people, the point of it all is love. And then he builds parameters. Love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Here's where it gets really interesting. He says, Timothy, the reason you do what you do, the reason Paul, he's saying, the reason I do what I do is love. And that love's got to come from a pure heart, which means there's no other motivation for you doing what you do. From a good conscience, so that when you lay down at night, you know you have preached or you have ministered for the simple purpose of because you love God and because you love people. Amen. And from a sincere faith, meaning without hypocrisy. Here's your purpose. Are you ready? You're here to love. Everything that is in this book, in this Bible, is built upon the principle of love. That's why Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do not build your ministry upon love, whatever that ministry is, then your ministry will not be successful. Why teach a class? Why? I mean, Sunday after Sunday, why do you teach classes? You teach a class because you care about the people you're teaching. Why? Keep the nursery. Why keep the nursery? There's a bunch of crying babies back there. Because you love God and because you love those babies. And you love those families that those babies come from. You see, it gets much easier when your ministry is based on love. Why, Pastor? Yeah. I said, you know, I said in the beginning, sometimes I lose sight of my purpose. You know, pastors can lose sight of their purpose. Their purpose is not to pastor. Their purpose is to love. And because they love, it's to pastor. It all comes down. And I love the way Paul brings this out to Timothy. Timothy, it all comes down to love. Nothing more, nothing less. If you do not love, you're wasting your time. Matter of fact, verse 6, Paul says, From which some having strayed. What have they strayed from? They've strayed from the commandment or the instruction. They have strayed from loving. That's why it was addressed in Revelation chapter 2. This problem just elevated through time until God addressed it in the book of Revelation at this church at Ephesus. He says in verse 6, from which some having strayed have turned aside to idle talk. That word strayed is departed. It doesn't mean they just kind of, they just were misled. It means they chose to go another direction. I want to tell you, sometimes I look at the different ministries and I think there's a certain romance factor in ministry, especially with missionaries. You know, people can get all excited about being a missionary on the other side of the world, and once they get over there, they decide, hey, this is more than I bargained for. Why is that? Because they looked at, for lack of a better word, the romantic side of it, and they thought helping people is wonderful, but if it doesn't start with love, you'll not last. You see, that's what started the whole human race. That's what started, or motivated God to send His Son Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sin. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. But here Paul says there's some who have decided there's a better way. And so they've laid aside the love and they've turned aside to idle talk. Now that word, the word idle talk, the Greek word literally means empty talk. Did it mean they wasn't saying anything valuable? No. I envision they were teaching baptism by immersion. I envision they were teaching salvation by grace through faith. I envision they were teaching security of the believer. And I don't think I'm going out on a limb here, okay? Because again, go to Revelation chapter 2 and you'll find, boy, they were doctrinally pure. I think they were preaching everything right. But what made it empty talk was they didn't start with love. They wasn't doing it because they loved God and loved people. How do I make this conclusion? How do I come to this conclusion? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. You know what that says? It says, though I speak with the tongues, and Paul's writing the church at Corinth, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. You see? They weren't just throwing or making up things or teaching false doctrine. They just were not motivated by love. I'm going to ask you the question that I started with. Do you feel like you're a man or a lady on a mission? You are. Your mission is to love God and to love people in that order. And then when you get that right, you begin to build a ministry. I want to tell you, ministry's tough. Amen? If you've been, I'm not just talking about being a preacher. I'm talking about being involved in ministry work. Had vacation Bible school a couple weeks ago. It's a great vacation Bible school, but I promise you it wasn't easy. For those who worked it and planned it and did it, it was hard. Why did they do it? You got to do it because you love them. That has to be our motivation. You know, and I pushed you in the message this morning to get involved with this petition thing. And you know, sometimes we preachers can get pushy. Sometimes we can even get excited. And sound a little coarse. But do you realize even in that endeavor, we don't do it because we want to show the rest of the state of Arkansas that we're right. We don't want to do it because we want to prove that we have command of the things that go on in this county. We do even that because we love people. Okay? So how does that, what does that have to do with love? Well, the bottom line is we know what that will do to the lives of people and families in Pope County. And we love them enough to stand for them. Your purpose is to love. And Brother Doug, it's hard. It sure is. And boy, when that love is pushed to the limit, what do? You know, sometimes you just don't feel very loving. What do you do about that? Oh, you get on your knees. God, help me to love. Lord Jesus, love through me. Because I promise you, what we're talking about is a supernatural love. And you do not have the ability in your physical body to produce a supernatural love. It takes prayer. It takes intervention from God loving through you. We go on in closing. You see what happened? They had some who had strayed from loving. And they turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Paul said, you know, in their desire to be a teacher, they do not understand what they're teaching and what they say they believe. Why? Because they weren't loving. That's it. If you leave out love, a successful ministry is impossible. That's why Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, which is Christ. You see, that's what we do. Why do I preach? Because I want to preach the truth in love. That's my goal. Why do you teach? You teach the truth in love. First step to successful ministry is love. Now, you're a person on a mission. Amen? It's your job this week to love. To love even when it's hard. Oh, Brother Doug, you don't understand. It's tough. I don't like some people. Well, neither do I, but I still love them. Why? Because, quite honestly, I'm not given an option. I'm told to love, you know. I don't have the right not to love. One-pointed message. Paul points out to young Timothy from the very start of this book, Timothy, if you're going to be successful, you're going to have to love. And you're going to have the church love. That's the only way a church can move forward. Now, I don't preach this because I preach it because God laid it on my heart. Okay? That's it. I'm not accusing anybody of not loving or anything like that. No. Maybe it was me that needed to hear this message tonight. But I'll tell you what it did do. It reminded me. Be careful. Be careful how I minister and how I pastor and how I preach. And make sure it's always motivated from love. You may be here tonight. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't know love. You see, God demonstrated His love by giving His Son upon the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice for your sin. That's love. That's love. And He's issued an invitation, or He's offered an invitation of salvation to you, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Tonight, if you're not saved, I want to invite you to come to this invitation. Maybe you're here tonight and ministry is getting tough for you and times are hard and you've kind of lost sight of the reason why. Why do I do it? I can answer that. You do it because you love. You love God and you love people. Maybe you're here tonight and there's a completely different need. Whatever your spiritual need is, I want to challenge you. Say yes to Jesus. He's working in your heart right now. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word and for the reminder that love's the foundation of all that we do. All that we say, every ministry act that we do, it's all because of love. And it's because you loved us first. And you demonstrated what love is through Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the great love that you have shown toward us. And help us that we may love one another, that we may love those that are hard to love, that we may love our community, that we may love lost people and share the gospel with them. Lord, help us by instilling your love in us and loving through us. For that's why we're here. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name.